We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Here's a couple of other fun facts that I've found here on the Twitter. How about this one? This is crazy. All four teams in the Final Four now trailed or were tied at halftime or later of the first in their first round games. Mm-hmm. In the first round, UConn trailed 13 seed Iona 39-37 at halftime.
Half.
Miami trailed number 12 Drake 56-53 with 3:24 left in the game.
Drake had that game won.
San Diego State was tied 53-53 with number 12 Charleston with 3:27 left.
Charleston was a one of those sexy first round upset picks.
And FAU trailed number 8 Memphis with five seconds left.
5 seconds.
So like three of these teams were in, you know, games that went right down to the wire. And at least UConn, they trailed at halftime. So that's how, I mean.
Who are San Diego State's three most famous basketball players?
Alums. Tony Gwynn. He's an all-time assist leader.
Tony Gwynn. Kawhi. Is there another?
Kawhi Leonard.
I was looking up Tony Gwynn stats. His senior year, he
Marshall
played.
Marshall Faulk.
He didn't play basketball, though. Tony Gwynn played with Michael Cage. Remember him back in the early 90s?
Had great hair.
Had that
Supersonics.
Thick Jerry curl. He was a freshman when Tony Gwynn was a senior. Tony Gwynn was not a very good basketball player, but they were not a very good team back then. But he was on the team and then eventually ended up playing the other game. He was better at that than basketball.
Oh, the baseball.
The baseball game. I don't even know who Florida Atlantic's most famous basketball player is.
You said you could name three. Who was it? Just Cage?
Michael Cage. That was the other name I wanted to give you. Michael Cage.
No, that's a good
name.
There
was probably someone else who's in the league right now who's a very good player who I don't know who they are.
Right.
You know, I mean, because that Kawhi Leonard team was super good. They went like 35-3, and I think they actually lost to UConn, who went on to win the national title or something. I think they maybe only won two games. They were like a 2 seed or something good that year. Because that was a really good team. He's a really good player.
Something else
turns out
that was outstanding from yesterday. So, oh wow. There have been, how many is the I have this grade?
48.
No.
10.
Over 1,000. There have been 134,377 instances of a Division I player taking at least 20 total shots in a game, and that's field goals and free throws.
Mm-hmm.
NCAA tournament, regular season, whatever. There have been over 130,000 instances of a Division I player taking at least 20 total shots. How many out of those made every shot?
Well, the kid yesterday from Miami. And they said on the broadcast that Christian Laettner did it in a game. So at least two. I'm thinking there's less than 10.
OptiStats says over the last 25 seasons, but Laettner was Laettner
was 92. That was 30 years ago. Then,
okay.
Right?
Over the last 25 seasons, 134,377 instances of a Division I player taking at least 20 total shots in a game. Jordan Miller is the only one to make every single one.
That was a pretty good game.
Wow.
7 of 7 from the floor, 13 of 13 from the free throw line.
Yeah, and then Grant Hill was on the broadcast, and he said that Christian Laettner did it in that Kentucky game that he should have got kicked out of.
Right.
Where he stomped on the guy's chest.
So there's a couple of fun facts. You want to look smart around the water cooler if you still do that in your office. Okay, now I'd like to ask you, I brought you back in here to ask you about these Chiefs. Did you listen to this? I said this to you, Mark, you should have it. Mecole Hardman had his introductory press conference with the New York Jets. And again, his contract, it was nothing that, he got less than I thought he would. So it's nothing that when you see it suggests, although there's no way, there ain't no way the Chiefs could have matched that. It's clearly, and I feel like that with almost everyone they've lost or had a chance to retain or guys that were out there that they were at least rumored to be connected with. I don't think any one of those wide receivers have signed, and I've thought, well, the Chiefs just couldn't match that. It's all been, hey, if the Chiefs if they wanted to bring back Juju, that would have been a reasonable contract. If the Chiefs wanted to bring back Mecole Hardman, that would have been a reasonable contract. If the Chiefs wanted to, you know, sign Alan Lazard or any of those guys, I mean, nothing. The only guy that I thought got too much that surprised me was Adam Thielen, but even that wasn't, you know, that wasn't crazy. But his numbers just, it's 1 year and he can make $6.5 million.
Can make.
Yeah. If he reaches all the incentives.
And the incentives are not all likely to be earned. You're going to have to produce, right?
Well, yeah. And so, let's listen to his press, or a piece of his press conference when somebody asked him if the Chiefs made him an offer.
McCall, did Kansas City make an effort to re-sign you?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't know if they offered anything worth the talking about, or if they just, you know, was moving on. I don't really know the exact detail. I'm probably pretty sure they probably offered something, but if they did, it probably wasn't nothing that my agent and them thought, you know, to consider.
Please explain what that meant.
I don't have a great explanation for that. I think he knows the answer. I can't imagine it's I don't know. Right?
My interpretation of that, you guys tell me if I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
They both had just agreed to part ways. Like, he wanted to go somewhere else.
So why didn't he just say no?
Well, he didn't. I don't know.
Trying to be classy, maybe, yeah, I guess. He's got to be disappointed with.
I want you to write this down, Nate. Okay.
You didn't want to completely burn the bridge.
Every word. Yeah, it was only. Nate's going to be free agent again. Yeah. Let's hear it again. Try to pin this down here. What did he say?
McCall, did Kansas City make an effort to re-sign you?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't know if they offer anything worth the talking about, or if they just, you know, was moving on. I don't really know the exact detail. I'm probably pretty sure they probably offered something, but if they did, it probably wasn't nothing that my agent and them thought, you know, to consider.
So probably they offered something, but it wasn't nothing worth talking about.
I mean, he didn't get offered very much money.
No, he's making what's his guarantee in this is $1 million, right? Do you have the likely to be earned?
Mecole Hardman, 1 year, $6.5 million max value. His salary that's fully guaranteed is $1.08 million.
Million dollars.
He get $24,000 per game active bone.
Okay, if you're on the active bone the roster, so if you're hurt, you don't get that money.
$2 million.
That's $100,000 a month.
You can get $2 million in catches, yards, touchdowns, or playoffs incentives.
Dude, they had no what's the number on the $2 million? Is it 80 catches? 90 catches? Like, you know, Juju maxed his contract out with the Chiefs this year.
No specifics there.
We don't have the specifics on the numbers there. Those active roster bonuses, does that say active roster or just roster?
It said per game active.
All right, so you can be a healthy scratch and you lost $24,000 this week. Because there's, yeah, you know, there's six guys on the inactive list, then you just don't get that money. Like Joshua Kando was inactive every game this year. He very well might have signed his rookie deal or something, and it says, oh, you're going to get all this money. He's like, I didn't get none of those.
I was just saying, that shed no light on the situation for me.
I think what we can take from it is they didn't offer anything worth talking about.
Yeah, so it must not have been
much. So if they did make an offer, it was a joke.
Like less than this?
Yeah, I mean, because he said, so basically the Chiefs just said, thanks, well, peace out, Nicole.
I'll say this about the Chiefs have gotten a lot of interesting things said about their training and medical staff over the past few years. We've heard some rave reviews about Patrick Mahomes getting back on the field and Travis Kelce with his back. And then we saw them get the worst grade in the NFLPA's deal. Okay. They know more about Mecole Hardman's medical situation than anyone. His medical situation this year was one of the oddest ones that I remember. If you go back and listen to what Andy Reid said and go back and watch the injury reports, it was after the Tennessee game. That game went overtime, correct? That game, I believe it was first called, it was called an abdomen, then it was called sickness, and then it was called groin. The injury moved all around. So maybe they think he's not going to be healthy enough to be an active player. He had a surgery. We saw that. He tweeted that out at the sports hernia specialty place in Philadelphia or something, right? It was after the Super Bowl. So, listen, I know everyone can get healthy in the recovery time or whatever. He's maybe not going to be the player that he was before he got hurt, and maybe they're like, we don't want to go through this. Andy said very good things about him. Remember leading up to the AFC Championship game, he played in that game. He said the kid worked so hard. Yeah. He wanted to play in the game and all that stuff. He's a tough guy. I'll say that. He's a tough guy because he did want to play in that game, and it only took one tackle. And it was over. It was an awkward tackle, and he was done. So maybe they're like, I don't think we need to have this player on the team because of the whatever condition his body's in. They didn't put a lot of effort into re-signing Juju Smith-Schuster either.
But
they know a lot about his.
But my point is, there was nothing that blew him out of the water. They could have. These are all choices.
Yeah, they're making choices here.
And so then I ask you, I asked Nate this earlier, I asked you, do you think, okay, all this hand-wringing is much ado about nothing, and they look at it as, we went out and picked MBS and signed him, we like him. We got a guy we drafted in the second round. We got a guy that was drafted in the first round just 2 years ago. This guy was drafted in the second round just last year. That's a good nucleus. Travis Kelce is our number one pass receiver. We're good to go. We're going to add another high draft pick, and then maybe if a reasonable free agent pops open around training camp, we'll do that. But we like our nucleus. We drafted Sky Moore for a reason. We traded for Kadarius Toney for a reason. We signed MBS for a reason. Do you think that's enough, or do you think the people that are
there's probably
assuming like this, they can't go to the regular season? Are we underestimating what they have?
Well, the people who are super worried are probably underestimating what they have. You know, Sky Moore didn't have the greatest rookie season of all time, right? There were plenty of rookies had better rookie years than he did. He can only go up from here. He got a little bit better. Maybe he's someone who can make a big step forward. I think Kadarius Toney has obviously been injury prone, but I think they love what they have there. And another year, he's only been in the system for 5 months.
Right.
Right? They didn't get him before. So there's all kinds of opportunity for growth. But it, as much as I don't like the idea of especially Odell Beckham Jr. on this team, it's sure smelling more and more like they haven't gone after anyone else, and this is going to be something where maybe he – I don't think DeAndre Hopkins is a good option as far as what it costs to go get him, but those guys are still on their teams. John Gannon, that's the man who coaches the Cardinals, correct? Something like that? The Eagles guy?
John Gannon.
Not John. It's something Gannon.
Okay.
What's his name?
Jonathan Gannon.
So they asked him
– like your next-door neighbor, old John Gannon over there.
They asked him at the owners' meetings about DeAndre Hopkins. He's like, well, I'm approaching this like he's on our team, right? Well, he is on your team right now. You have to say that. But I think the Cardinals want him not to be on their team. So can they find someone to give him to? You read that the thing. Who was that last?
Albert Breer.
Albert Breer.
But then Aaron Wilson, who's a very good NFL insider, was on Buffalo Morning Radio on Friday and said that right now Buffalo is very aggressive in pursuing DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, my God.
But.
What a mess.
Said, listen, but he said the Chiefs are a factor. I got to find this.
Yeah, so,
because
I mean,
this brought up another topic, because if you're Buffalo, let me tell you something. And Buffalo's like so desperate right now because they signed the deal with the devil, Von Miller. They think their windows, they got to do this, right? And so
their
I could
totally.
Their problem
isn't that they need another wide receiver.
But I
though.
Could see them just going out there to, you know what? Throw everything at the wall and see what we got to get to the Super Bowl. We got to get there. And they could think in their minds, not only are we trading for Hopkins, but keep him away from Kansas City. Bring him here. Yeah.
I think that would be the greatest thing ever if the Bills got DeAndre.
I'm just telling you, they're acting out of desperation because Cincinnati at least got to the Super Bowl out of this whole deal, and now the Chiefs have won two of them. The Bills haven't even got there yet, and last year was a huge step back because they got their asses kicked in the divisional round by Cincinnati. And now, if Aaron Rodgers is coming out of his freaking cave and get a sign or get traded to the Jets.
He's still nowhere, right?
I don't know where he is.
He's not a Jet yet, right?
Okay.
Correct?
Whatever. He's in a hole in the ground. He's doing something. All right?
He doesn't seem to be refuting the reports.
My point is, if the Jets get Aaron Rodgers and what Miami's done.
Arms race, sure.
There's no. It was for a couple of years. Oh, Buffalo will win the division, no doubt. You going to tell me Buffalo's a sure thing to win that division if Aaron Rodgers goes there and with what Miami's done?
Yeah.
No. They're not a sure thing. And so, and right now, would you put them ahead of Cincinnati?
No.
Did you see the playoffs?
I saw the playoff game.
Would you put them ahead of Kansas City?
No. The Chiefs won the Super Bowl.
And so they're desperate.
Yeah.
And so that's the...
This doesn't seem like the right thing that they need.
But my point is, if this is true and they really are aggressive in him, that could screw up. The idea that all the Cardinals ask for, because it just takes one team to do something stupid.
Oh,
but they're
sure.
in the position where I think they feel like they got to do something stupid.
My point in a big conversation about the Chiefs is it seems to me like since they're not signing all these other people, it's coming down to it's going to be one of these veteran
Do you
guys.
Think so?
I mean, it's what it kind of seems like. Who else is out there?
I'd rather have DeAndre Hopkins than Odell, but you're different.
Oh, well, I'd rather have DeAndre Hopkins if they were both free agents, but they're not both free agents. DeAndre Hopkins costs draft picks.
Would you rather have Aaron Rodgers taking hallucinogenics with Jake Paul? Did you see this?
No.
That's the latest.
What?
Jake Paul says that he and
what's the problem?
Aaron Rodgers did ayahuasca. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of them.
I got people. If you want some of that, I can get it for you. You need it?
I studied in anthropology in college about some of the indigenous people of certain areas
eyes?
In South America where you take it and it makes you go on a long,
trip.
Strange trip.
Have you figure some things out.
Yeah, well,
NFL season. It's a long, strange trip.
Maybe that's what made him decide to go into play for the Jets was a good idea.
But he's still not a Jet.
No, he's not one officially.
Right.
Yet.
He wants to be a Jet. They
There's
need,
all
but
kinds
it's the same
of
kind
issues.
Of thing. They need to trade for him. He's still property of the Packers.
And the Packers don't have to just take whatever they give him.
I mean, the Packers, if they want, can just not. What a mess. It's so nice to have your quarterback position settled. Even in like Buffalo, where you get desperate, at least they're desperate for a wide receiver or something, not a quarterback. This desperation at quarterback just crushes franchises. Think about all the things that have happened this offseason already. Like, where's Derek Carr? He's a Saint now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at something.
Ready to give them the same exact numbers their quarterbacks gave him last year.
He's totally ready for
where's
it.
Where's Lamar Jackson?
He's I guess, still a Raven. Theoretically,
he's private on Twitter now
because he's a. They tagged him.
He was going to interview himself, and I'm still waiting for this. Did you see that?
Yeah.
He's going to answer a lot of these questions where he's going to interview himself. I said, I'll watch that.
I would watch that
in a heartbeat. I'd watch him.
The
interview
Panthers
himself.
Have changed coaches again. I was looking through rosters. Do you know who the Panthers quarterbacks are?
Well, Steven ran them down for me a while back, and I don't remember any of the names.
Matt Corral, but they signed Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
AD. The Red Rifle.
They got Andy Dalton running around, and they're on like their whatever coaches, and they've tried. I mean, they've had Cam Newton was obviously on their team, and they and he got hurt. And
he's trying to make
him,
a comeback.
He threw at Auburn Pro Day. They said, there's not 32 MFers better than me on his IG post.
He's probably right until you hit him and his shoulder breaks, you know?
So negative.
Well, because that's what happened. He's hurt. He's got a bad shoulder. But they've, you know, the Cardinals, the Panthers, they went out and traded, tried to get Sam Darnold, and they got Baker, and now they got, you know, Andy Dalton. They're just trying all these guys who were first-round draft picks.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Two Gloves was there. Where's he now? He's got to be somewhere.
Decent backup.
Because he was with the Saints last year. Has he got a job?
I don't know.
I mean, they're just all running around. Who's the Commanders quarterback now? They made a move because Carson Wentz is gone.
Well, they got
Jacoby Brissett.
Theodore Edmund Bridgewater Jr. is still in Miami playing.
Okay,
the Commanders signed. Well, they got the guy that they like from North Carolina, Sam. Whatever.
Sam Mays.
No.
That's a quarterback. That's not
right. I don't remember. Steven gave me all these names, and I'm like, I don't know these people.
But they signed Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah. So I mean,
but he's the backup.
But
right?
Listen, that's what they've been doing.
And guess what? If I was Washington, you know what I'd do? I'd trade for Lamar.
Right.
Well, they can't right now. You have to sign him
and try to do whatever. I'd get Lamar.
But my point is, they've all got all these issues.
Sam Howell.
The quarterback of North Carolina now, where Sam Howell went to school, his last name is May. So I put them together into Sam May, right? That's the kid who's the hot prospect from Carolina.
I thought Brissett played okay for the Browns when he was, you know.
Played okay. Hey,
Jacoby Brissett beat Patrick Mahomes in Arrowhead Stadium with the Colts. That was three teams ago, right? So these teams, like the Raiders, it's just a mess because now – Derek Carr's gone. They make moves. They're all doing all this stuff, and the Chiefs are just sitting here going, well, we got to have a wide receiver with the name.
Right. No, they don't.
No.
No.
They won the whole thing last year without some star wide receiver.
I'm fine with it. I'd like to have DeAndre Hopkins, but I'm not doom and gloom about it.
No, you don't need to, pay DeAndre Hopkins, you know, two draft picks.
They better
to get
at least
him.
Draft a wide receiver.
If it was... Like, I would have taken Brandon Cooks who would have ended up taking to get him. Now it's like he renegotiated a two-year, $20 million deal, and they just had to give up a fifth and a sixth-round pick. If that's what you're talking about.
If you can get that, sign me up.
I mean, that's the thing that I guess find interesting is that, like, these wide receivers are not going for as much money as we thought they were. We thought they were going to go for a lot of money because the market was so bare.
But there are so many wide receivers of skill that I think these deals eventually – are going to kind of go the way of the running back deals. Where, you know,
you're saying they're a dime a dozen.
Not quite that cheap, but I mean, Devontae Adams got a $100-some million deal. Tyreek Hill got a $100-some million deal. And they didn't elevate those teams to Super Bowl status or anything. Quarterback is the place you still got to pay the money. And that's why mediocre quarterbacks will continue to get crazy deals. Hello, Derek Carr.
We'll be right back into this on WHB. About time you played this song. This is a good Monday song.
Heading out to San Francisco for the Labor Day weekend show.
I tell you what, fellas.
On. I guess I never was.
I am. I'm a fan of this actor, comedian Bill Murray.
What's he been in?
Now, that be so I feel like. I'm a fan. I don't like. I had never heard of this guy before.
I do want to. We were talking earlier.
Last weekend.
I'm going to bring something back.
Oh, feel free to interrupt. Go ahead.
Your best friend,
please do.
Your best friend Chip Brown, covering the Longhorns, says that Rodney Terry is going to get offered the job.
Oh, is he?
This Tuesday.
So. Oh, that's good.
There you go.
Yeah, that'll work out.
See how he heals.
Texas coaching search in 2 years.
In the SEC.
So I like. I've never heard of this guy, but then I started. He was covering this Rick Pitino, St. John's saga, and everything else. I guess he's a broadcaster on college basketball on Fox, host of Big East Shootaround, and he does commentary for the Field of 68. He's a guy named John Fanta.
Like
and
the drink.
This is what he comes off to me like. Number one,
East Coast.
He looks like. A character that Chris Farley would have done as a sports broadcaster on Saturday Night Live.
Looks like Vern Lundquist.
Number two, he looks like a sports broadcaster that would have, like, his heyday would have been in the late 70s, the way he dresses and the way he acts. And when I first saw him, I thought, oh, he's one of these YouTube guys that's, like, impersonating a broadcaster and doing these interviews like you see at the Super Bowls like that. No, he's just a real guy who's – and so I started following him, and I love him now.
Why didn't you get this person on the show,
Marco?
Look at
this guy.
Oh, wow, yeah.
If I would have told you, this guy
he looks like
did great interviews in 79 and 80 back, you know. And so he's – and, like, and he'll do the interview, and he'll ask a question, like, tell me about the key moment in the second half that gave you guys a 4-point lead, and then you went on to win. And so he holds the mic, and while the person he's always like,
he's giving you the face.
He's moving his head, giving it. It's just he's so
listening.
But now that I've started to watch him, clearly, this guy loves what he does and knows everything about basketball. And I guess like on the East Coast, he's got a pretty good cult following. And now I love him.
Get him on the show, Mark.
And so I saw he caught up with, after UConn won, he caught up with Bill Murray because Bill Murray's son is on the UConn staff. Mm-hmm. I don't know, just this like 2 minutes of this guy that I like now, John Fanta, interviewing Bill Murray, so I thought we'd play it. This is Bill Murray on the court after UConn's victory to go to the Final Four with John Fanta.
The Connecticut Huskies are heading to the Final Four, and we are joined by the father of Luke Murray on UConn staff, Bill Murray. Bill, you've watched a lot of sporting events, all different kinds. How impressive were these Connecticut Huskies tonight?
Well, they won by about 30 points against a very good team, Gonzaga. And, if everyone was nervous all day long, I couldn't get anything done all day long. I was just walking around the hotel room, just forgetting. What I was doing, toothbrush, phone, watch, anything. Couldn't find anything. So it was a lot of nerves to get here, but it's fun now. Sure fun now. And I had a really big smile on my face earlier. My face is relaxed now, but my jaw was hurting.
We don't necessarily know out there, Bill Murray, the dad. Tell us what that role's like for you.
Well, the kids are very disappointed in me. I know that. So, I don't try to talk about it too much because if I say anything, they'll immediately put billboards, on the highways and tell the real story. But I'm very proud of this boy, and he's a wonderful kid, and he's worked very hard.
Okay. Have you ever logged more travel miles here? Now you got to go to Houston. I mean, from Vegas to.
Well, they say they've got the great chicken fried steaks down there in Houston. So I think a chicken fried steak, I'll get over the jet lag or whatever I'll have.
What's on the rest of Bill Murray's schedule on a Saturday night in Las Vegas?
Well, actually, I'm going to a friend's birthday party tomorrow in the East. So I'm going to actually leave you. I've got to go to the airport and catch a red eye.
Safe flight, and I'll take your word for the country fried steak.
Okay, yeah, I'll see you there. Chicken fried steak, that's what they call it.
Chicken fried steak.
Yeah. But if you can go to a really nice restaurant and ask them to chicken fry a really good steak, that's really worth doing.
I will tell them you sent me.
Okay. All right.
I don't know. I
did not know Houston was known for the chicken fried steak.
Yeah, neither did I. But I get a kick. I mean, clearly this guy is good at what he does and loves what he does and his enthusiasm. And I just watching all these different interviews, I mean, there's something to be said for that, right? And so he's interviewing. He interviews everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest things, he's all over the place. And he's there doing exclusive with Rick Pitino right after he gets hired. So, I get a kick out. So he's interviewing Bill Murray. So anyway, Luke Murray is in his second season as an assistant coach on Dan Hurley's staff. He previously worked under Coach Hurley with both Wagner and Rhode Island.
Did he used to be at Louisville or something? I remember Bill Murray being
3 years
at
Louisville. Yes.
When they didn't win, but won the Final Four?
Whatever.
Was he on that staff? Because I remember, wasn't Bill Murray at that Final Four?
I remember seeing him at college basketball games, but I didn't know the story behind it.
He just shows up at things, man. Bill Murray's
He was at Xavier. I remember him being at Xavier games, and like, why is he there? But his son's a successful assistant coach.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so now he's the second year at UConn headed to the Final Four.
He's worked his way up, too, staying with the coach. Last summer, I went to country club in Wilmette, the suburb of Chicago, mm-hmm. where Bill Murray caddied as a kid, which caused him to write the script for Caddyshack.
Really?
Which I didn't know that backstory. I didn't play it. I just we walked around it. There was like a nice neighborhood walking area, and my friends that lived in that area said this is where Bill Murray
started,
and that's where he came up with all the characters from the movie.
Yeah,
and that's why the characters are so spot on.
Is there Judge Smales?
Yeah, there was a Judge Smales. There was a new money guy like Rodney.
It was actually written by his brother.
Was that? Oh, his brother. Okay,
yeah.
Brian
Doyle
Murray.
Yeah.
Okay,
but it goes the same thing. It was because I had known.
It was called Indian Hill Country Club, or is that right? Something like that?
Brian Doyle Murray, Harold Ramis, and Douglas Kenny wrote it. But Brian Doyle, so that's the same thing. Story's still good. But Brian Doyle Murray, who you remember, he's the boss,
right?
But he's the head of all the caddies, which he was fantastic too. I watched there's a documentary about the anniversary of Caddyshack, and they talked about that. It's awesome.
Is it true that there was like a real tension between Chevy Chase and Bill Murray on the set?
Tension between a lot of them.
Yeah,
nobody likes Chevy Chase.
Oh yeah,
right.
I mean, you read almost anything now. Any movie there was ever Chevy Chase, especially on the TV show that he was on. What was it?
Community.
Yeah,
yeah.
There was always tremendous tension with Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
Saturday Night Live to everything. There's always tension with Chevy Chase.
Somebody just told me yesterday that Mike Myers is known as an a-hole on set.
Really.
And that there was tremendous tension between him and Dana Carvey.
Mike Myers.
I
look at him as a comedic genius.
Yeah, 100%.
And he has a certain process, and he's very specific about stuff and very demanding.
Gotcha.
And a lot of people that he works with, you expect, I'm going to be on the set with De Niro later. I'm going to be on the set with Daniel Day-Lewis. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a hell of a deal. He has a process. Comedic actors don't always get that leeway.
Right.
And get that, they're supposed to come out and just be, ha-ha, hey, we're on a comedy. Mm-hmm. But they said he approaches his roles, or like Austin Powers and all these other, So I Married an Ex-Murderer, very much like a dramatic actor does, and takes it very serious, and that would turn a lot of people off.
Gotcha.
But the way I look at it is, I'm going to tell you what, he's a freaking genius, and whatever process led him to generate those comedy classics. And again, I know we always talk about with him, Austin Powers. So I Married an Ex-Murderer. There are a few movies that can make me laugh.
I wish he made more movies.
But they said it would take so much out of him. He said he just kind of shut it down. Which then I'd give anything for an Austin Powers.
The reason it happens, we were backstage at the P&L yesterday. We were talking about Wayne's World because we were joking around about our credentials and like showing it to everybody. And of course, none of like Briscoe had never seen Wayne's World, like a bunch of the young people. And I'm like, I wonder if that movie holds up because I haven't seen it in 20 years.
It's
and then
not
somebody,
great, but it's still it's funny enough.
Somebody said, hey, well, supposedly Dana Carvey and Mike Myers didn't like each other. And Lorne Michaels sat them down and made them work together because he thought they would be such a great pair. I don't know if that's all true or not. But Greg Gurley has texted us and wants to know if there's great tension between me
absolutely.
And you on the
generally.
But then people would,
incredible tension.
The people would get – or the people that were – With Mike Myers, come on, it's a comedy. But then they would see finished project and the finished product, right? It's hard to argue with the results.
Well, it seems like in any kind of artistic pursuit like that, there's a lot of times one person that wears everybody else out. Paul McCartney apparently was like that with the Beatles, right? Mm-hmm. He was so motivated. The rest of them like, man, chill a little bit. And Q-Tip with A Tribe Called Quest was that way.
Yeah.
And Steven's like that all the time.
Like
he's just on my ass.
But, how can you argue with the results?
How can you?
Tremendous.
It's
but
general
you know what?
Sports
the
talk.
Truth, I'd say the truth is the thing is, Steven needs to work. I mean, you're the funniest guy on this show. And so you have to be with some people need to be able to vibe with that, because. Yeah.
Like Lebo can't.
No.
He hates it.
He's always trying to one up you with every joke.
He comes
joke.
Over and literally tries to take my microphone. Like, what are you
trying
doing?
To reach through and take it?
Thank you. We will be right back after this on WHB. I found this clip of the Texas coach, Rodney Terry, being emotional, which I'm sure that you are really enjoying. Let's just say, what we do on this show, you can do whatever you want on these other shows. You put your cards on the table here. Mm. We don't hide what we're rooting for. You didn't want Texas in the Final Four.
No.
You didn't want Texas, did you?
No.
You were rooting heavily for Miami, weren't you?
You know, it was interesting, too, with K-State. I was definitely rooting for them in the Sweet 16, but at the end of the game, in the Elite Eight, I was like, yeah, I didn't really want them in the Final Four either.
Did you hear what I said about my best friend Caesar earlier?
Yeah,
he's a Kansas grad.
Oh, going
he
to
was
the
in
Final
town,
Four.
And so we're watching, and I don't know what he's doing, you know, because we're just watching the game at main event with a million kids around us. And
you
I look
watch
at him,
it there bowling. Your back hurts.
And so I wasn't bowling.
Okay, good.
I was eating a piece of pizza. And so K-State made a shot, and he says, "There you go." And I go, "What's going on over here? What are we doing?" And he goes, "Oh, I'm rooting for him to get to the Final Four." I said,
"Are
what
you?
About national championship?" He goes, "Oh no." Because I root for him to get there, but then I want him
let him
to
get
lose.
Taste.
So I'm always interested to hear how this is handled. You were rooting for him?
I was rooting for them in the Sweet 16, and then Lance actually called me.
Attorney Lance.
And said, "What are you doing?" Because we were on a text string.
He didn't like it, did he?
He didn't care for it at all.
Yeah.
Because he gets K-State fans
he's
who
what
are
they call
rough
a,
to him.
Lance is what they call a real one.
He's a real one.
Okay.
And then so then I thought I wanted him to win on Saturday. But then at the end, I was like, no, I guess I didn't really want to because my
so at the end, you
heart,
weren't?
No, I wasn't. Because why would you root for someone who's your rival to do well?
So K-State is a rival of Oklahoma's.
Absolutely.
You know what? Thank you for, you know, Mr. Fence Post over here because he's just sitting there spinning around, waving at both sides. He loves
I'm
it.
Spinning around
yeah.
on it now?
I know I didn't want Texas to make the Final Four.
I know that.
So I like the fact that you're acknowledging K-State as a rival.
Absolutely a rival. They've beaten Oklahoma in football like
they have hurt
four
you.
Or five times yeah. in the last 15
They've cut
years.
You and you've bled.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Do you want to – so I found
Maybe
this one. You want to
you
hear?
Know, and you stole their coach.
Stole?
Their whole coaching staff.
Steal our coach? Bob Stoops was at Florida.
You want to hear real emotion from Coach Terry?
Yes, I do.
I
watched this several
Marco?
Times last night.
Well, I know you have.
It started over on my Twitter feed.
I bet it
was on
the play, and then you forget that.
Here's Coach Terry.
But he's saying the same thing.
Very emotional after Texas lost to Miami.
I mean, again, I love these guys. And not only will I just love these guys for the time I got a chance to coach them, I'm going to love them for the rest of their lives. I'll be at their weddings. I'll be with them, you know, talking to those guys when they have their firstborn. And, you know, it was all about this team, man. And I enjoyed every single day of this journey with this group. And I'm going to really miss working with this group. So it was never about me. It was always about these guys. And I love these guys. I mean, again.
Where's the Play it again.
Steven left. Why are you laughing, Todd? What's so funny?
Steven left. Play
Not
it again,
only
Marco.
I just love these guys for the time I got a chance to coach them. I'm going to love them for the rest of their lives. I'll be at their weddings. I'll be with them, you know, talking to those guys when they have their firstborn. And, you know, it was all about this team, man. And I enjoyed every single day of this journey with this group. And I'm going to really miss really miss working with this group. So it was never about me. It was always about these guys. I love these guys.
Put your freaking headphones back on and listen to this all the way through. Play it again, Marco.
Why are you playing a third time?
These guys, and not only will I just love these guys for the time I got a chance to coach them, I'm going to love them for the rest of their lives. I'll be at their weddings. I'll be with them, you know, talking to those guys when they have their firstborn. And, you know, it was all about this team, man. And I enjoyed every single day of this journey with this group. And I'm going to really miss working with this group. So it was never about me. It was always about these guys. And I love these guys.
That sounds like me, like, every week, crying at home. That's why I'm laughing.
I know.
Like, I know that's exactly what my kids think of me, because that's me. Every time I try to talk about something emotional, that's me at home.
Oh, dude.
He's been emotional about this eighth grade year for his girls for 6 months.
I know. I cried.
My nephew had his senior prom this weekend, and I was looking at pictures of him when I held him when he was a newborn baby.
But I know.
I started crying on the plane.
I know what he's thinking.
He's like, what is this? What's this guy crying about right now?
This guy is taking such great joy to Texas coach crying.
I'm not.
I told you
Rodney Terry did a great job. You had him fired. You had Dusty May coming in here, not even coaching the Final Four.
I'm telling you that I'd be taking a look at this guy going to the
Rodney Terry.
Well, he loves his guys.
He does, and he's been through a lot with them. Seriously, you can laugh about this guy crying, Stephen, and be a monster.
I'm laughing about. Because that's me.
This guy took a team over when they fired their coach in the middle of the year.
Here's the difference. You're laughing at him, Todd.
I'm not laughing.
Steven's laughing with him.
I'm not laughing.
Because Steven knows what it feels like.
I wasn't laughing.
Ugly cry
laughed.
Like that.
I also made eye contact with him and it was over. So
I had to hold the headphones on his head and make him listen to the end of it.
Very, very excited here. You know, I love hats.
Hats.
The 2023 NFL draft hat.
Oh, my God.
Now, normally, there was a stretch where I got them all, and I loved them. But the last couple of years, I'm like, I ain't buying that.
They put some area codes on this.
Here we go.
Aren't in Kansas City.
And I'm going to tell you right now, much to my dismay, I will not buy this. I do not like it. There it is.
No bad.
That's all right. It's not bad. It's
right,
not bad.
Right. It's all right. It's not
it's
bad.
It's all right.
The best one.
I'd wear it if somebody gave
you
one.
Is one he had under the head, the Kansas City skyline underneath the bill.
What year did that come
that's
from?
Just, I don't know, but this is
1987.
This is this
more
year.
Lettering
do
than
you
hat.
Like that? Do you like this? I don't. I just like more. Like when I see it, I want to say I got to get that. I'm just like I don't.
No, you don't need to pay for that one.
I don't someone give me that. I'll wear it. But that's it.
Yeah. You don't really like hats.
I love hats. Not that one.
How many hat holders do you have in your car right now?
Probably more than Rodney Terry. I don't know. I don't know what that means. I gotta go. Bye.
The Border Patrol has been brought to you by Walker Medical Linen Services, setting the standard in healthcare laundry services for hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in Kansas City. Walker Medical Linen delivers laundry you can depend on. HLAC certified to the highest standards. It's Walker Medical Linen Services, online at walkermls.com.
Bye-bye.